episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. Hello all, Beachy here, Wednesday, February 11th, round about 6 o'clock in the evening. Hope you're all doing well out there. It's been a while since I've presented on this server, the Remember Who You Are show. Welcome everyone, if you've listened before, and if you're a new listener, great, welcome too. Anyway, it's been a while, like I said. I took a break for the holidays and did some traveling around my beautiful state of California, and I had some rest, and as best you can these days with all the stuff that's going on. It's very exciting times we live in. Just all kinds of things going on out there. Anyway, I'm ready to continue with some of the thoughts that have been swirling around for a while. I'm still on the words. It just keeps going deeper and deeper. And of course, a lot of what I'm going to talk about is in the headlines directly and kind of related to what's going on. There's a big stuff going as far as changes in our world. A lot of people think it's political, but there are some things that will directly touch us in the coming days, months. But specifically today, I'm going to start again with the words, words that are associated with are water terms. And these water words are all in our money and our law, and have different definitions for those sectors, but there is a connection. So let's get started. The concept of water, it's all around us. I believe we're being distracted, however, away from the true meaning and importance to us as living beings. I'm going to just go over the words in this particular broadcast, but probably in subsequent shows, I'll go more in depth and focus on the actual principles of water itself. But this time, I'm going to focus on our dialogue and how we use these words every day associated with money, commerce, and the law. So getting started, first of all, we have solvent, the word solvent. Solvent is the meaning of the word. It means, water is a solvent, first of all. as we learned in chemistry, it's a diluter, like for some of the other chemicals. For example, you remove the strength of them by adding water, their strength, their potency, just like any other thing, if you're trying to take it down a bit, we call it watering it down. In terms of money, solvent means that your debt is less than your assets. Specifically, if you owe nothing, you're more or less, you're stable, or you're free of debt and free of, some of the controls that surround being in debt. So the opposite is insolvent. Another term that's used in the money world, the term used, of course, when you're in debt, more debt than you have assets. Specifically, we call it underwater or drowning in debt. More water reference. Again, it means that you're not liquid or flowing, which is another water way to reference water. So sometimes, you know, when we talk about insolvent, you have to resort to bankruptcy, which, you know, that clears away your debts and then you start all over again. Let's see. So more words that we consider is currency. Currency is referred to as money as well, but it's also in rivers and oceans. They all have currents. And currency is also in reference to energy. And money is interchanged. The word currency is interchanged with the word money. And a bank is where we keep our money. And again, the river bank is also a bank, and the river bank stops the flow. Like when they put a hold on your check for a few days. Do we know why? Have we ever been told why they hang on to your money for a few days? And, you know, of course, we have over the years have figured out that it's because they're making money off of it and they get to do this freely. And, you know, they call it, they get to do that. When you sign your contract with them, they tell you that this is something they're going to do. But most of us don't read these long, boring contracts and we agree to it. Going back to fluidity is another word that refers to how much cash you have available to use. Basically, the amount not tied up in, a debt, so to speak, like, or if you have money that's someplace that you can't liquidate it easily. Again, another water term. Again, a credit card allowance or an open line of credit, that might be fluidity, which again, it refers to how easy that you can gain access to purchase something more. We have a floating interest rate. It means it can change. It's not fixed, moving like the river current. We have the word sale. Sale is another interesting word. Merchants always use this like sale. They put big, you know, like you're going to get a reduced price of something, but actually a sale is just simply means that something is for sale. Doesn't necessarily mean it's at a discount or, a better price, but, you know, that's kind of how they bring us in. A sail is also something that's on a boat that floats you over the water. When you're in your boat or watercraft, you put a sail on. Staying afloat, another term for keeping on top of your debt, or keeping your head above the water. It's another phrase. Again, when you owe more on your mortgage than the market value of your home, it's called you're underwater or your house is underwater. Let's see, more terms. Again, we talked about cash flow and liquidity, liquid assets. Liquid assets are cash or, again, like I said, a credit, credit line of credit, whatever. Things that are easily turned into cash, you know, say like real estate or assets like real estate or land or even precious metals, those things you have to, it's a little bit, you know, harder to turn those into liquid cash. But Okay, and then there's let's see, we have loan sharks again. Watch out for those. Referring to something in the water, the sharks. Legal tender. Legal tender is what we call something that you can pay with, but it's also the definition, or you call that a smaller boat is a legal tender, which is interesting. Never thought about that one, but again, you may have a frozen asset or a frozen bank account that, again, it's not liquid. You can't get at it. You're blocked from it, so you can't buy anything. There's breach of contract. Again, this is not necessarily a money thing, but if you breach a contract, someone can sue you, and they might sue you for lots of money. But a breach of contract, a breach is also whale breach, and they break the water.
Truth be. Truth Meets is supported by listener donations at truthmeets.com. Click on the support link.
Oh, that's a new one. Truth Meets, Beachy here, back on Wednesday, February 11th, 2026. Happy New Year to anyone I haven't spoken to since the new year. Back again, we're talking about water terms as related to money. And I was just talking about whales that breach. Breach of contract is basically a breaking of the water or breaking of a contract. Kind of like I said, whales breach and they come out of the water, so they break the water. Okay, and then all these merchant terms, of course, are centered around water and ships or vessels navigating the waters of the financial world. And actually, Admiralty Maritime is the law of the seas, so that's why we are embroiled in it. It's been taken, given to us by the our rulers or our money people, the people who created our money system. But this Admiralty or maritime law is basically the law of the sea, and it was created in the time of the pirates when the original pirates and shipbuilders were running around the world. Merchant traders, so they had to set up a system of accounting. So they're, you know, they would get paid, or they would figure out how to do their exchange as they sent out their ships to distribute and pick up supplies and treasures. So this jurisdiction has invaded our common law here, because common law is a land jurisdiction, and I'm switching over now. The maritime or admiralty law, it's about entering ports and extends out to rivers and lakes. We talk about freight. We're always talking about shipping charges and carried, even if it's carried over the land or the air, things are shipped. We call it shipped, or it's transported through loading docks, seaports, airports, shipping lanes, and traffic islands. It's all integrated into our language. And back to the ships, there's a lot of words that contain the word ship. We have ownership, citizenship, relationship, worship, hardship, sponsorship, scholarship, championship, censorship. We like that one. Partnership, mothership, lots of ships out there. Even though when we think of ship and shipping, it's like something's being moved. And but in the my etymology dictionary, I looked it up, and at the very root, this ship originally it meant it does relate to a being, a human, or a you know, like when we talk about a relationship, it's bringing together those things, right? So you're bringing together two people in a relationship or a partnership. So the very base level of the word ship, the etymology goes back to, I think it was like the 1300s or something. But anyway, again, we are referred to as a vessel, and sometimes ship is referred to as a vessel. But a vessel holds water. We are water, and ships sit on top of the water. So there's a little bit of a departure there, but still, still referred to as a ship when we talk about, say, our citizenship. Again, our money and our legal system is intertwined in this quote unquote jurisdiction of admiralty, merchant law or maritime law. And because this was maritime law was created out of the sea merchants and trade across the sea from port to port, as I said before, it was basically accounting or administrative paperwork to keep track of all their shipments and make sure they were getting paid what they wanted. It takes me into legal versus lawful. I'm switching gears here because, again, I said the law refers to land, air, and water. That's L-A-W. But legal, is a creation. It's a paperwork, basically. It's accounting. And like you said, the common law pertains to the land and soil, people that walk on land and things that are, on land. But again, the legal is the accounting paperwork, and they have adopted the administrative properties of the sea, maritime law into this UCC code or the Universal Commercial Code. This is where a lot of these legal rules come from, and it should only apply to the commercial area or doing business with merchants. We are not we're not commercial, involved in commercial or international business with other countries across the seas. But we are pulled into this, and the way that we're pulled into this is through our birth certificates. And it's kind of a sneaky way that they create these registrations put our name in all caps. And we call it capitalism. Get it? All caps. We're in the all caps world because corporations... The corporations are usually in all caps. It's a business entity. It's not a living entity. I say, we're not involved. We shouldn't be, have taxes. We get taxed. We're just doing a service for someone when we go to work. We're trading our personal energy for some debt notes, And that gets taxed. And then our employer gets taxed. And so they're getting double tax. And, you know, for what, really? It's kind of not lawful, let's say, to tax a living being for their energy. I mean, who? It's like, who are these people that they can lay claim to your personal energy by your God-given energy? Like, who are these IRS people? More on that later. Anyway, again, back to the all caps name. Again, we've been fooled to identify as it, but it's not us. That's basically their creation. They have created a document like an author, say, would create a book. And according to there's a book, or it's called A Manual of Styles, which is a book of rules for the English language. Usually journalists and creative writers are aware of this book. I certainly had never heard about it in my travels at school, and I did take creative writing class. But anyway, this Law of Styles or Manual of Styles book is basically the Bible of what dictates, you know, how language is written, especially the English language. And in this Manual of Styles, it says that all caps words are to be read with a period after each capital letter, kind of like an acronym. And it is referred to as dog Latin. So in essence, basically the all caps name, it's gibberish. It means nothing. It's kind of, it's a sneaky trick they did. But anyway, so our birth certificate, again, our names in all caps, is basically a corporation. They created it without our knowledge or consent. And it's registered with the state. And that's pretty much how we're assumed. There's a lot of assumption there that we are assumed that we are doing business as a, you know, a commercial entity. And again, another interesting disclosure about written documents, any form or of written expression is considered an artistic creation, kind of like a painting or a sculpture. The artist or author who creates something reserves full ownership. They can make the rules. They have authority. So all these documents, declarations, etc., are recognized as statements of fact unless somebody rejects them and objects to it in writing. So again, nobody ever told us that, right? That's as far as like your birth certificate, you cannot claim ownership to that. Again, that's your all caps name, not your appellation or your name that your mother gave you at birth. And reality, your name is actually just your first name and your middle name, because your last name is, again, your surname, and they call it your last name because it is your last name when they put it on that stone in the cemetery. That's in all caps as well. Anyway, again, all this information, it's kind of a form of censorship because this is not common information. Nobody ever tells you this. So how many of you have ever delved into this unless you have gone into all the recent stuff that's been, it's been circulating a lot on the internet. I have, there's plenty of information that seems like it's coming faster and furiously. Let's see what else. But anyway, so they're authoring this document, and the author makes the rules. So, and that's why they call it authority. They have authority over you because they authored this document. Contracts, this is, it kind of goes back to a basic rule of law. Common law is all contracts. Contracts are the most basic of laws. And again, contracts are written by someone, and then you sign or you agree to your contract by signing it, basically. And mostly we agree to these contracts without fully understanding, unless we read the entire verbiage carefully. And a lot of times we sign them and the definitions that they have in these contracts are not what we think they are. They change the definitions. And most contracts and or legal documents typically should have at the top, they should disclose that they're changing a definition on something. However, again, there are law dictionaries that you can go look up certain words and find out that they mean something a little different than what you might think or have seen in a regular Webster dictionary, or you know, commonly how people use a word in around, you know, just dialogue. Also the slang, there's also slang that comes in into the picture here. And a lot of times things get changed and just through the way people use a word, and they think or they believe that's the definition, but some people, you know, may not have gotten the memo. And I mean, they're always changing definitions on us. We've seen it recently in a variety of terms. Like I said, there are a lot of information out there that you can go and find out a lot of this stuff. If this is something new to you, if you never heard any of this stuff around the legal, lawful arena. I've given you just a very tiny, tiny view of that, because it's a tip of the iceberg. Again, more water terms. Do some research and always use discernment. There's a lot of stuff out there, like I said, that you can learn from. And a lot of times it's personal. Everybody has a different situation. So sometimes certain things may apply and certain things may not. So there's a lot of information out there about certificates and, you know, marriage certificates, birth certificates, car titles, baptismal certificates, all your legal documents. A lot of them are certificates, which means they're bonds. And these days, you could probably ask some pointed questions to your favorite AI bot and they'll give you some pointers. But always beware, of course, because, you know, there's a lot of misinformation out there, and verifying it requires a lot of reading and watching for change of definitions. And also, you know, it's a good idea to go read legal dictionaries, which there are a few of them. Again, they're all different as well. You got your Black's Law, which is people say is most popular, but there's also I think it's either Valentine or Ballantine. There's another one, but I can't think of it right now. But anyway, something that most people don't realize is that our courts is basically their administrative courts, which means it's just for resolution for, you know, commerce. It's commerce. So if you are conducting commerce in the international admiralty jurisdiction, again, it's the law of the sea, and you're treated as a vessel in dry dock, or because your birth certificate, it's all centered, again, going back to the shipping, birth, B-E-R-T-H, like the birth of a ship. That term is interchanged from, it's like you're assigned as a ship, therefore you're engaging in commerce. This is the assumption they make when they made your birth certificate, because it's like you're delivered. You were delivered by a dock, D-O-C-K, delivery from your mother's waters, like a package in commerce. As mentioned previously, we're considered lost at sea. When they created your birth certificate, you're considered dead because they have confiscated the placenta or some DNA or blood after the break.
No matter what your age,
you're listening to another conversation
or your affiliation
on truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now on with the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
And we're back. Truthmeets.com. You're with Beachy here. Remember who you are. Going over some legal stuff. Talking about how when you're born, how it's all, it's the language around it is very interesting. So again, we were talking about being born and they take your DNA or usually the placenta, which they deem as dead on arrival or unclaimed property left behind at the hospital. So therefore they create this document, you know, that has your name on it, and people believe it's their live birth certificate, but it's just a certificate that they created to make a straw man for you. I know a lot of people call it the straw man, but again, going back to the administrative court, because it's for the administrative courts are for vessels in commercial or commerce, not for living men and women, unless you consent to act as the master. This is why they give you a Mr., Mrs., Miss title of a registered vessel in commerce, such as your name in all caps. Titles are another representation, basically. And if you think of the word representing, it's like someone is standing in the place of the actual entity. So if you're a live person, well, actually, you can't present or represent yourself because they consider you dead. Again, that's an assumption that the court makes. And a lot of times people say you should go in there and say, hey, I'm not dead. Look at me. I'm right here. I'm standing right here. And just take care of the assumption right there. It's like you're not dead. This is a big mistake, basically. But again, it doesn't usually work because they don't play ball that way. They know that they've got the corner on all this stuff there. They just go ahead and bulldoze you because they know they can. And like you said, it's all administrative, though. They just want your money. So it's like if you consider courts, again, back in their maritime roots, within the layout of the courtroom, it's divided into two parts. There's a barrier known as the bar, resembling a ship's outer railing. So when you cross that bar, then you're entering the Admiralty maritime jurisdiction of the court, where you have voluntarily come because you're, again, you're representing the surety for a vessel subject to commercial levies and duties, also known as penalties, fees, fines, and taxes. So this judge, they're just after the money. Again, in terms of the accused or the vessel is placed in a dock on the docket. That's why you're on the docket when you go to court. Like you said, even though you're this registration, it means that you've given up ownership. This personal property, your name is being used by them, even though you never consented to it. Just like you register your cars, you register your boat, you register lots of items, personal property. And in this, when you register something, it means you're giving it over to them to, and you're just the beneficiary using it. And, it's just such a crazy little scam. But, by the way, they're also trafficking you, not by the use of your name, but as the trustee of your trust. Because, again, like I said, you're the beneficiary, but they are the trustee, which means they get to administer any of the money in your quote-unquote trust. And so every time you, are in court or have an issue, the money comes out of that trust as well as the money that you pay, fine, whatever. That's right. I was talking about the trafficking. So, the trafficking, that's a loaded word. But I don't use it lightly because it's true. We're being trafficked because your name has been traded on the international stock market. The birth certificates are, some people say they're held by the Vatican, and the money is, this is by practice of trafficking or they have put a price on your name or thinking it's kind of like they're predicting how much money you will bring to the system through income tax and all the other things that you get paid or you purchase, or like I said, all those registrations, they become certificates of some sort and they get traded and they use it as credit and they get money from it so they could lend it to you or other people. it's such a sticky wicket. I mean, all this stuff again is just like they're wheeling and dealing like the casino back there, and nobody's. I think a lot of people know about this because if you're working in these industries, you might see glimpses of stuff that's happening. But you know, who are you gonna tell? Because you go and tell on your boss, and your boss is in the thick of it, so he's not going to do anything about it, probably. But anyway, again, all these things, all these pieces of paper, they're like, they call them stocks and bonds, you know? It's a bond. It's all a form of gambling, like I said, on their part, market tampering and, you know, all this stuff that they do, it's the cabal set up this system probably many, many, many centuries ago. But, some people say, you know, well, what's your proof of all this? And I have taken the registration number from my birth certificate. and went to a Fidelity website. And it's a website that calculates the value of bonds. And I put that registration on my birth certificate, and a dollar value came back. And there's also, they say that you can also put your social security number in there, but it's a different, I think it's a different website or thing. Because like the thing that I put it in, it was under the EE bonds. And those are, I don't know if you, some people can purchase those on the open market just for a dollar value, or, you know, and then they hold on to them like treasury bonds. And those are typically EE bonds, but I'm not sure why our birth certificate is under that. But anyway, so all this money flows into the pockets of these people who, the cabal, or the deep state, bloodlines, whoever, whatever you want to label as. And they, it goes to the funding of unnecessary wars, drugs, prostitution, physical trafficking. You know, I'm sure you've heard a lot about that these days in the news, and crimes against humanity, but mostly for enslavement and control. So, again, the birth certificate, back to the birth certificate, it's a certificate of manifest of a product, birthed, B-E-R-T-H-E-D, from a ship or your mothership. Metaphorically speaking, again, like I said, the word doctor is, you know, the doc. The doc is taking the oar. You are the oar, the baby. Because that is the battery that's being used as energy to power this artificial matrix. So when you were delivered, you know, you were delivered, I don't know, the body vessel onto the dock, the body, the vessel slash ship onto the dock. So that's why we call them doctors. It's crazy. Oh, this language is so interchangeable with so much. So the person who delivers the baby is called the doctor. And the doctor's role is to deliver the baby or O-R-E, onto the shore so it can be sold and used as energy. Or, again, the word or, O-R-E, that's product, an earth mineral, a resource that can be monetized, a product. So, all this stuff is just, it's so crazy when you start looking at it. So, like you said, of course, and any piece of your DNA is considered an entity, such like the umbilical cord, the placenta, or blood. And like you said, all these things are pronounced dead or dead on arrival or lost at sea and set aside for a period of time waiting for the owner to claim them. But of course, no one ever does. And so they're taken by the state. I have heard of people who have, read about this. And when they have their baby, they take the placenta. They want, or they say they want the placenta, and they cannot deprive you of that, because that is your property. And but they will do everything they can to get that away from you. And I even heard where a guy took his wife's placenta, because he took a little, ice chest and threw it in there, and he had to run out of the hospital because they were chasing him down with that. Because It's interesting. I'm sure everyone's heard about all the things they do with those pieces of, there's stem cell. They say they can use it for stem cell. They can use it for beauty products. It's interesting that they sell these items on the open market. So some people say that, the Vatican owns these instruments. And I do know that there is a, there was a papal bull in the 1300s where the Pope, what was his name? Now I can't remember his name, but the Pope declared that because he was the vicar of Christ, meaning the stand-in for Christ, that he owned everything and everybody on the earth. And yeah, that's that's his claim. And apparently nobody has challenged that or told him, you know, sorry, dude, you're smoking. What are you smoking? So anyway, again, that is kind of what they hold over us. And again, using all these terms, and we just go along. So let's see what else. Anyway, so the name, like you said, is just a legal name, an artificial person that exists on paper. And again, going into the word person, that's a whole nother thing. A person is kind of, if you go look in Black's Law Dictionary, they even say a person can be a corporation, a person can be a dead entity. So it's like they're interchanging these terms. yeah, they can get away with it, whatever. But okay, so the counterfeit name, like I said, is created by a fraud corporation. The dog Latin, remember the dog Latin? It's just gibberish. So anyway, so let's go on. I think, again, part of this is still more about mind control because, you know, we're just constantly being given all these concepts. And I think we're just, it's like they tell us, oh, we're here to help. We're here for you. You trust us. And, you know, they just, you know, we get fooled every time. It's like Lucy in the football with Charlie Brown. Like, really, it's going to be okay. We're going to do you right this time. And it never happens. But anyway, I think, again, the bigger thing is probably the most important part is all right now we're in an information war. We are, and I don't think it's new. I think this is something that has been going on since however long they have figured it out that it works. There's so much cognitive dissonance that we have mutually exclusive definitions in our heads to confuse us. Like you said, all these words were just kind of confused all the time. And I think if you've ever heard of Kathy O'Brien, she talks about trauma-based mind control. And I think television and all our media kind of traumatizes us because they give us images that are kind of horrific, and then they tell you over and over and over again that what you saw doesn't match up with reality. So that, again, creates more cognitive dissonance. And then they tell you it again, you know, it's in all kinds of different ways. They send you all kinds of mixed messages. And, you know, we saw this in action 5 years ago with the COVID operation. That was a huge, huge revelation, in my opinion, if you were paying attention. And I know a lot of people were, but we still have a lot left over from that time period. It feels like it's been a long time ago, but yet we still have so much leftovers from that. Like, even, you know, I still see people wearing masks, and they are, I don't know. It just drives me crazy. But anyway, so again, back to the money fraud, of course. I think that's another big psyop that it's been, you know, perpetrated on us. I don't think it started. A lot of people talk about the, you know, the IRS and the Federal Reserve Act that started, that came about in the early 1900s. I think it was just another iteration of them taking control. And again, I'm not just talking about America. If you're in another country, all of countries are basically controlled through centralized banking, like the IMF and the overlords of America, privately owned centralized Federal Reserve Bank. This institution, again, like I said, it claims a right to our income via the IRS. It's a fraud. It's a huge fraud. It's very unconstitutional. And of course, we never consented. We never agreed to this, this whole, what do they call it? Fiat money system. After the break.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
And we're back. Let's see. Where was I? So, again, the money stuff. Let's see. So we have the IRS and the money people that claim our hardworking money that we make as if they own it, which, you know, they shouldn't be able to own us. We're creatures of the earth. It's just like, you know, when you go to a grocery store and you don't pay tax on vegetables because they come from the earth. You know, why do we have to pay taxes on our on our energy that we are exchanging for, you know, some money to further our, you know, and enjoy our lives. But as far as this whole thing, you can read about it in The Creature. There's a book called The Creature from Jekyll Island, and it's extremely interesting how they set up this whole system of debt notes. It's really quite amazing that they were able to pull it off. It's an eye-opening experience if you read. It basically was all rigged. And they had a senator, a sitting senator, who actually was the one who facilitated it. And I would say that's treason. So, how he got away with it, I don't know. But anyway, like I said, that is a very interesting book if you go through it. And maybe sometime I'll do a show on the outline of that. But for now, that's a lot of information I just gave you. And hopefully you, I didn't bore you too much. But your takeaway from this would be that, you know, pay attention to contracts and what you sign. Your signature is a contractual consent. So you should always know what you're signing for. And anyway, like I said, this is a lot of information. It does require some time to integrate and repetition to absorb. If this is the first time you ever heard of this, it can bring up fear, anger, you know, but know that repetition is how the system is solidified. Whoever screams the loudest, we know who has the microphone and repeats it over and over again. So to counteract it, we must hear the truth over and over again. And so, yeah, you might want to go back and listen again or start asking some questions, research, and just know that we are this is a war, and it's not, you know, the typical kind of war that we've been told about. Of course, there's all kind of, again, that's, I think that's part of the distraction to not, you know, alert you to the fact that there's been a war going on for a long time against us against them. I don't know who they are. Some people say they're not human, and I would tend to agree because, you know, just all the things, and there are a lot of things coming out. I mean, there's lots of evidence that this is a real problem. But anyway, again, after you absorb all this stuff and try to withdraw your consent as much as you can energetically, live in truth, and just be aware and make sure that you understand who you are and get away from toxic relationships, toxic institutions, contracts. Act like a sovereign. This is fundamental to your return and remembrance of yourself, because we all need to get back to this place of knowing who we are. And, you know, because that's, we're not meant to be slaves. We're not meant to have somebody else dictate our lives on very personal levels. I mean, it has gotten extremely personal. Obviously, we went through it with the COVID jab situation. That was very close to home, and again, very traumatizing, because we had to fight for that. And I'm grateful that there were a number of us who did say no, stand up and say no. And I think that's how we're gonna get our sovereignty back. I know that today, again, there is a lot of noise out there about people who don't like our president. They have all kinds of tedious, I would call it, and mainly I blame the media, because the media has told everybody to hate him. I mean, because when you ask people, what do you hate about this guy so much, they can't tell you. I mean, and I cannot say that I am a worshiper, but I look at what he's been doing lately, and if you look at, I mean, just today, for example, or yesterday, he took us off of the climate change crap that's been going on. We're no longer the whole thing that I guess Obama put into place that was going to start, you know, well, they already did start all the climate change money, fines and fees and taxes and all kinds of stuff. I mean, just the simple thing of, I don't know if you have a late model car, you know, that ridiculous, that your car turns off when you're at a stop sign, like you're stopping for a signal for like 2 minutes maybe, and your car turns off, and then it does start up again when you get ready to go, which I don't know who thought that was a great idea. I'm sure it wastes more gas. And I think a lot of people have recognized that, and a lot of people hate that thing. Thankfully, my car has a button that you could turn it off. Otherwise, I would have probably gotten rid of it. But anyway, he took away that Because that was put, Obama put that into play as a requirement for all new cars in America. And it's like he took it away with the signature of his pen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I mean, just little things like that. And I can give you a whole list of things. Like, he got us out of the World Health Organization. He got us out of the World Economic Forum. He got us out of the UN and the EU off our backs. I mean, I'm sorry. I think those are great things. I don't care. If you want to call me MAGA, I guess it sounds like an insult, but you know, what is wrong with making America great again? So one other very important thing about what I was just talking about as well. Many people miss the speech that Trump made on his first inauguration back in 2017. And yes, I know everybody hates Trump. Everything is his fault. The reason America's gone down, gone bad. I mean, never mind all, you know, this shit that's been going on has been several years in the making, decades. But anyway, not very many presidents have said, some of the things that he has done or said. And like you said, at his inauguration speech, I don't have the exact words, but he declared that he is we're not just handing administration over from, you know, handing the power from one administration to the other. We are returning the power back to the people, because he is claiming we're going to go back to a republic, or we're going to be a republic. And he has also dissolved the United States Corporation. And that corporation, you know, which again made all those, you know, ruled back to, I believe, 1871, I think is what most people say. But anyway, there was a lot of rules and bad things that were never actually even ratified since then. So again, a lot of things are being done and things are changing hugely in the money area. Again, we were just talking about the money, and that is happening as we speak with the rise of the silver and the gold. It's quite interesting if you're following that. But like I said, do some research. You can go and find out. A lot of this stuff is not being reported on the mainstream media. They hate him because they know he's making some changes. And quite frankly, a lot of the Congress people, they knew obviously, because they gave him heck the minute he said he was going to run. They knew he was going to drain the swamp. And the swamp, as you know, we found out, was Congress. And they had, Elon and his Doge found a whole lot of corruption, a whole lot of money being stolen from our coffers. And again, that was a lot of eye-opening things. And again, now we're into this Epstein thing, which is even more, it's crazy. Like I said, everything is coming out, so much exposure, so much, you know, everybody's going nuts. But anyway, so these are signs for us. It's signaling for us to take note, to take our power back. And make no mistake, Trump's not going to do it all for us. We have to do our part. We have to, like I said, remember who we are. Take our power back, say no, and do the work to, face down these people and, in our local jurisdiction, basically, that's where it starts. Because those are our neighbors. We can, you know, ask them, you know, where are you getting this authority, and why are you, putting these processes into place that nobody wants? And again, there's a lot of stuff happening. There's so much stuff. A lot of people across our country are figuring this out and doing, actually getting up and taking action and doing things to clear a lot of this stuff up. So anyway, like I said, back to the water. The water will help you in this discovery because, you know, sometimes water, there's memory in water, there's information in water. Like, I don't know if you've ever noticed that when you're in the shower or taking a bath or in a body of water, swimming in the ocean, something like that, you can, you know, everybody feels good when they're in moving water. And why is that? I don't know. It's more basically, you know, you get rejuvenated, you get refreshed. But if you're paying attention, sometimes you can receive a message, you know, just by listening. And I think, like I said, there, the water is important because it comes through all of us. The water is us. We have water in us, and then we drink water, and then we eliminate water, and the water goes back to the earth, and then it comes back out through the rain, you know, the whole cycle. It's all there. It's in the trees, it's in the plants, it's in the earth. So at minimum, like I said, these bodies of water heal and rejuvenate and cleanse. And, you know, we're all drawn to it. We always like going to the beach or being in near water and lakes. It's like a remembrance or a reconnection. Again, we're created in water. We live in our water sac, in our mother. The female woman creates this, you know, water sac, and that's where you grow. So you spend the first 9 months of your life. And then, you know, your mother births you, and you carry that water to the next generation. So everybody, that's how everybody has ancestral memory. And so, like I said, we have to just be still and listen, because that you can get those answers if you ask, and if you are quiet enough and really listen. You got to turn off all the noise, though, the distraction, which, of course, this is why they give us so much out there in the world. They're constantly throwing things at us. Like I said, it's on purpose, and it's obviously their biggest weapon. Again, all the words that I talked about earlier, some of them have good connotation and bring up good things, and others of them not so much. So it's our job to focus on the ones that are more uplifting and, you know, trying to release ourselves from their spell, because a lot of those ideas and concepts, you know, like you said about the bonds, you know, bonds, it's, you just think about that word, bond. And you know, debt. What was the other one? Contracts, of course, is a contraction. And, you know, that's like a tightening, that's like tightening the noose. I mean, I could just go on and on. But again, the good news is we can make our own spell and create what we want. So again, you have to like say the word and feel, how does that word feel to you? And use the words that feel good. Don't use the words that make you feel bad or create a fear or anxiety in you. So again, pay attention, look for signs. The truth is coming out. Like I said, there's a lot of good things happening. It's a wonderful time to be alive. And, you know, take a look at that water. You know, just consider it, try it out, and you know, see if the water can help us to remember who we are. And that's all I have for you today. I will come back with my next episode. I'll talk more about the water and all the different kinds of water there is out there, and it's a fascinating subject. So stay tuned, and we'll talk to you then. For now, have a great day, evening, or morning, wherever you are. Thanks for listening. Bye now.